appreciate your prayers today. Thankful for the opportunity to worship with you all and to bring you a little bit of the word that's been inspired to my heart lately. I've been thinking about the word witnesses. And we've talked a lot about witnessing, but I want to talk about witnesses today. And it is related, but sometimes the witness that the Lord wants to give us is for ourselves, just as much as it's for the world. Because we have to know it before we can give it to the world. And today, there's a lot in the Bible about a witness, and we think of John the Baptist as being a witness. He was a witness for Jesus before Jesus even came. Now, that's quite a witness to come and say, here, this is my purpose, to be a witness for the Lord, for the Messiah, and he hasn't even came yet. You have to have some faith in God to do that. But today, I want to think about being established in our own testimony and having the witness of Christ in our lives to where that we can provide evidence personally, yes, that God is real, that he's alive in our hearts, and that our story is true. People believe someone a lot more if they're a firsthand eyewitness of something that's happened. If it's just second, third, fourth, fifth hand, and you're just telling a story, relaying something, it starts to be a little bit unbelievable. And maybe there's some holes in some of the story. But when you're an eyewitness, it provides evidence and proof, and it provides confidence that you know what you're talking about. And today, the Lord wants us each one to know what we're talking about. When we tell the world, I believe in God, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, they want some stories to back it up. And we need to give them some things. This is what God has done for me. We sang some wonderful songs today. And there was one song, Oh How Happy Am I. There's one phrase in there that says, the Spirit to witness within.
Yes.
You know, that's one of the witnesses that God gives us today. Let's look at Acts 1 and 8, just to lay a little foundation here. Acts 1 and 8, he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This was the purpose that God put on his disciples, is that they would be witnesses. Yes. That they would be the eyewitness of what they saw there. And then, in Acts 5 and 32, it says that the disciples were witnesses. He says, we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him.
Yes.
So the disciples were his witnesses, but not only the disciples, it was us too. It yes. says, whoever the Holy Spirit comes into, to those who obey him will be his witnesses.
That's right.
And so we have a part to play in witnessing to the world, and the world wants to see evidence and proof. Even more than ever, they want to see evidence and proof. They can't just believe the Bible just because it's the Bible today. We have to work with people to have some level of authority to give them the Word of God, because they just won't say, oh, yeah, it's in the Word, I believe it. But they want to hear why we believe it. Yeah. What are the reasons today? And so, what is a witness? The definition of a witness is someone who sees, hears, and knows events or happenings and has evidence to prove it.
Yes.
To witness, to personally have presence or and perception in a happening. To be personally involved. To know what happened. To not just know what happened, but to know why it happened.
Yeah.
That's a star witness. You think of these trials. They have witnesses. They have star witnesses. They have people that were intimately involved in whatever happened, and they want them to provide the evidence needed to try a case. And so you think of the disciples. They were Jesus' star witnesses. They were with him. They worked with him. They saw, they understood. They didn't understand until they had the Holy Spirit. They saw what happened. They saw him crucified. And yet they still didn't quite understand. And Jesus told them, he said, "You will be witnesses after you receive the Holy Ghost." I believe that's in John 15:26. You can look at that on your own. But he said that when the Comforter is come, then ye shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Yes. So they were not able witnesses until they had the Holy Spirit to be able to give them the understanding that they needed of really what happened. They saw what happened, and they were sad and distraught. And finally, when Jesus rose from the dead and came back, they said, "Jesus, now are you going to put your kingdom in place?" And he didn't even bother answering them. He just went on and told them what to do. Yeah. But here we must have the Holy Spirit to be able to truly witness. You know, I was in my young life, I was praying. I said, "God, I need witness from you. I need to know that you're real. And I want to know some of these stories, some of these old stories that these old saints tell about how God has been so good. I want to know some of those stories."
Yes.
And I was praying that the Lord would give me some. And so I want to share one of them with you. I don't think I shared this story yet, but it was one that really proved to me that God was hearing my prayers.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
And so we were at Monarch Springs meeting, and I had just been, I think we had just finished eating dinner or something, and I was standing out there, wasn't talking to anyone, and watching these children play. And the ground there is pretty rough, a lot of rocks, flint rocks, very sharp, and it just very hilly terrain and things. And these boys were chasing each other, and they started running down this hill, running for the hill. And as they got to the hill, one of the boys tripped on a tree root, and he headed head first down the hill. A very steep hill, and halfway down there was a very rough concrete sidewalk, an old sidewalk, and very sharp edges and corners. The dirt had been washed out, and I knew by the trajectory of his body that his head was headed for the corner of the sidewalk. I just knew it. And so when I saw him fly off the edge of the hill, I took off running, because I was preparing myself for the worst. I really was. I thought, this is not looking good. And I took off running, and when I got there, he was dusting himself off and was running off. And so I marked it, and I said, this has to be something from God. The Lord protected that boy. And so That's a good story, but here's what makes it better. An hour or two later, I was standing around the same area and talking to one of my wife's uncles or cousins, and this little boy comes running by, and Brother Clifford is my wife's cousin. He's a man that's very connected to the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord shows him things in dreams. Well, this boy came running by, and I had told no one of what happened. And he stopped him and said, "Hey, Colin, I had a dream about you last night." He said, I dreamed you were running down that hill, and you tripped on a tree root, and you fell and busted your head on the sidewalk. And he said, "It disturbed me so bad, I got up and I prayed for you for an hour." And he said, I prayed for everyone on the campground. And I said, wait a minute. Let's go over here. I want to see where you're talking about. Show me in your dream. And so he comes over and he points to the root that the boy tripped on in his dream. And later, as the boy ran off, he said it was so bad his head was split open. He was basically dead in his dream. And like I said, I was at a point in my life where I was really wanting some witness from God that I could have some stories too. And no one could ever take that story from me. I saw it with my own eyes. I was an eyewitness. It was a first-hand experience. I was the only one that knew both sides of the story and connected it. I was just an innocent bystander. I wasn't the one that God told. But yet he showed me in his love. I was just a young man who didn't really know how to get a hold of God as much as maybe some of the older ones were. But yet he gave me a witness that God is very real. And somehow in our human finite minds, we have to be proved to over and over and over again that God is real. We can't just see creation and just say God is real. We have to have all this proof over and over again. And next trial, we're back to saying, oh God, are you really going to help me through this one? But he is. Yeah. He is. And so these witnesses, like I said at the beginning, sometimes these witnesses are witnesses for ourselves, because we have to know. We have to know personally. If we're going to have the faith to believe that God is real, and we have the faith to jump out into his will and do things that are maybe contrary to our own comfort and common sense that we think is right, we have to know that God is true and real. And so first, the Lord wants to witness to our heart that he's real. That he has confirmed our salvation through his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit is living in us. And so when we have these things so concrete in our mind that there's nothing that can shake me from that. I know God is real. That story was not fabricated. Brother Clifford didn't see that happen and then make up this story. It was totally spontaneous. And so there are many, many stories we can share like that. I could share many stories from my grandparents or from other saints, but you know, it doesn't make it as impactful as my story. And so if you share your story, or if you share my story, it's not quite the same.
That's right.
So God wants to be real to each one of us today, where we can be his witnesses. He said that he will give his Holy Spirit as a witness, not only to his disciples, but to those who obey him. And so what other witnesses does God give us today? So in John, I want to read a little bit in John now, the first chapter, where John the Baptist came, John 1 and 6 through 8, well, maybe 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You know, that's another witness that we can believe. We first must believe, but yet he came to light every man that comes into the world. And one evidence that a witness is true, there's true witnesses and there's false witnesses. But a true witness is someone that's not trying to bring glory to himself, but he's just simply relaying what he saw, what happened. And John the Baptist was the epitome of a true witness.
Yes, that's so
Let's skip on down here, verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ." He was making some very bold statements here, comparing Jesus above Moses. And that was quite something to do, because nobody knew Jesus yet. Nobody believed on him yet. But yet he said, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus. Yes. He was saying, Jesus is greater than Moses here. And he was providing that witness before anyone else had any evidence. It was just John the Baptist's word. And yet he confessed that, and denied not, but confessed. This is the 20th verse. "I am not the Christ." And they said, "Well, what then? Art thou Elijah?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And so he was a humble, true witness that just said, "I'm not the prophet. I'm not anybody special." But Jesus said, "There's no one greater than John the Baptist." But yet John the Baptist didn't view himself that way. He said, "I'm not even worthy to unbuckle Jesus' shoes. I'm just a humble servant." And you know, when we have that attitude, the Lord can really use us. When he can show us great and grand things and our heart not be lifted up with pride, and we just say, "God, I just want to be a conduit of your grace and peace in this life. I just want to show your love. I want to give evidence of and witness of your grace in my life by the fruit that I produce in my life, by the actions that I have, by the responses that I give people. I want to prove that I'm a witness simply just by the way I act, by the way I speak, by the way I respond. I want to be that witness that doesn't need any self-exaltation or any prompting, but it's just who I am because the Spirit is living in me. Those are the kind of true witnesses that God can truly use, that are evident, that are empty of themselves, and it's evident that God is living in them today. Lord, bless us today. So then, just a little bit more here. This chapter is so good. Just to focus on this. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I who knew him not, but that he should make manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, Unto whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost." So God spoke to John in his heart, in his quiet time. He spoke to him, and God told him, "Whoever you see the Spirit descending on, that's that man." And so John saw, and he bare record that this is the Son of God. Yes. He was making bold statements there before anybody knew, before people wanted him to say it. Jesus didn't come in the form of a king and all these things. And the Pharisees didn't like it at all, did they? But yet John stood out, and he boldly proclaimed that this was the Messiah.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, all four of the Gospels talk about this, about John witnessing that this was the Messiah before Jesus was ever known. It's just something that's a challenge to me, that I want to be a witness for the Lord by faith.
Yes,
we want examples. We want evidence. But we have to step out in faith before we get those evidences.
Very true.
And, you know, it has to happen in this life.
That's right.
When we're dead, a dead witness is no good.
No.
They can be a star witness, but if they're dead, they're not worth anything. It must be in this life. We heard a little exhortation about time passing so quickly.
Yeah.
We must step out in faith.
Help us, Lord.
Now, right now.
Yeah.
We must say, God, I want you to use me as to the fullest extent possible in my life now, because a witness that has already passed is no witness at all. It is in this life that the Lord wants us to proclaim his name, to testify of his works. So different ways that we can understand the witness of God. John 5 and 36, Jesus said that, he said here, but I have a greater witness than that of John. So just John's words, that's something there. But Jesus said, I have a greater witness than that. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. So the works that he does, the healing, the power that he manifests through the Holy Spirit, and the work of the crucifixion, of dying, those are the things that bear witness of him. And it also says in the 39th verse, he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So the scriptures provide a witness. So we ask ourselves, how do we know God is true? How do we know that we can truly trust him? Well, we can believe people that we have confidence in their stories. That helps.
Yeah.
We can believe the prophecies, like John the Baptist prophesied. That helps. We can also believe the scriptures. That helps. But Jesus said also that those that believe in me, these signs shall follow them. These signs shall follow them that believe. And you know, all those things put together, the Lord wants to reveal those things in our lives too.
Yes.
To where we can provide witness to people that are looking on at our lives that God is true.
Yes.
They can see that we are not holding back our lives. You know, there's something about being a witness of God is us letting go. Because we will never truly, fully know and be that star witness that the Lord wants us to be without letting go. I think a little bit about being a witness in maybe something, maybe a crime or maybe just something that happened. And I think of depositions. I don't know if you all have ever been at a deposition, but they're not enjoyable. Because those attorneys know how to ask every question. And they're trying to get you to slip. They're trying, whether they're trying to confirm their case or to prove you dishonest or maybe that you're not a valid witness, they're trying to ask everything they can to poke holes into your witness. And it is very difficult sometimes to sit there and be grilled by these attorneys. But I've had to do it once before. And, you know, it's very evident that after that deposition, if you're just someone that hears about it or if you're a true witness, because they will prove whether you really knew what you were talking about or if you just heard the story from someone else. But I would just want to think a little bit about Satan. Satan wants to poke holes in our witness today. He is the attorney on the other side, and we're in this deposition, and he is trying to do everything he can to discredit our testimony, and our witness. And he knows that if he can take our testimony, if he can discredit the witness, then he's not only won a battle with us, but he's also won a battle with anybody that we're effective with. Because when there can be a hole poked in our testimony, then it hurts our credibility for anyone else that we're trying to talk to. I think of the story in 1 Kings 13, Jeroboam. Jeroboam the king was worshiping. I'm just going to tell it for the sake of time, but Jeroboam the king was worshiping idols and the old prophet. The old prophet was another man. A prophet came to him and he spoke against Jeroboam, and he pronounced judgment against Jeroboam. And Jeroboam was angry with him. The story is of 1 Kings 13. He was angry and he reached out his hand and said, "Get that man." And Jeroboam's hand shrivels up. And then he didn't even repent. He just cried to the prophet, "Pray for my arm that it be restored." He didn't even offer repentance. And yet the prophet prayed for him and his arm was restored. And then the prophet went home and there was an old false prophet that came and told him a lie and said, "Well, God told me for you to come to my house." God didn't tell him that, did he? God told the prophet, he said, "You don't eat or drink or talk to anyone on the way. You go deliver your message to the king and come right back home." But this old prophet said, "No, God told me to bring you home." And so the prophet followed this old prophet home. And he ended up losing his life because a lion slew him on his way home. And then what did Jeroboam do? In the 33rd verse of the 13th chapter, it says, "After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest people priest of the high places. Whosoever would be, he consecrated him, and he became one of his priests in the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from the face of the earth." You know, God in his mercy provided an opportunity to Jeroboam to repent.
Yes.
And he heard the curse. He heard the judgment. He saw the hand of God. I mean, what kind of witness do you need? Your hand shriveled up, but the prophet prays for you, and then it's restored again. But yet, in the end, the prophet was killed that same day because the prophet didn't obey the Lord. You know, every time that we have something where we see that God's hand at work, there is some level of faith that we have to believe that.
Yeah.
There is always an excuse to say, "No, maybe that wasn't quite the way I saw it." And so here it was too. The devil always wants to provide an excuse for us to not quite believe what God just showed us. God, in very apparent terms, showed Jeroboam his power and his might. Jeroboam should have been on his knees repenting, but instead he discounted because the prophet, and look, I'm not laying all the blame on the prophet. Jeroboam had the prophet. He chose in his own heart what to do, but yet here's what happened. Because the prophet didn't obey the Lord, it provided an opening there that lessened his credibility.
That's right.
And so that's the point I wanted to bring out with that story, is that we must be careful in this life to live godly, holy, righteous lives.
That's right.
We say, "God, I want to be an effective witness. I don't want people to say, I'm not blameless." That's part of the qualifications of a leader in the church, is that they be blameless.
Right.
But if we're saying one thing in the pulpit and doing something else, our credibility is gone.
That's right.
We must be an effective witness. And so Satan wants to poke holes in that witness. That's part of his plan, is to lessen our credibility. You know, when our credibility is damaged like this, then a verdict can't be determined, can it? People around here especially, sometimes the only Bible they read is by our lives. And so we must have holy, righteous lives because we're the Bible that people read. And we're not lifting ourselves up, but we're simply a reflection of what God has done in our heart. And so it behooves us that we let the Lord live in our hearts in every area of it.
Yes, that's true.
So another thing that hurts our witness is when we limit our areas of faith. God wants to work in our lives in every area of faith imaginable. And it must be inspired to us, and we must desire that. But the temptation is, and this is more of my challenged part of the message today, the temptation is to make ourselves comfortable. To limit our areas where God can really work in us. You know, sometimes we think going overseas to Africa or to the 1040 window, that's where most of the Muslim population, Hindu and Buddhist are, and only 2% of missionaries go to the 1040 window. It's the latitude, 1040. Only 2% of the missionaries go there, yet over 50% of the world lives in the 1040 window. And so I think, and that is the least percentage of Christians in the world in the 1040 window. So I think, all right, so are Christians limiting their areas of faith here? Because those are the areas that we could really see God work. We're either going to get our head cut off or we're going to see God work. But, you know, I want my life. I want God to be able to use me wherever, whenever, yes, in whatever hostile environment I am. I want to be able to be a star witness where I'm not worried about my own comfort or my own life. There's a scripture that says they hazarded their lives for the gospel. But, you know, when we put ourselves in those kind of areas of faith, we get to see God work in so many amazing ways. It's just amazing to me when you start letting God lead in your life and work in your life, you get to see His hand at work. Coming out here to California, I've got to see His hand at work.
Yes.
More than where my comfortable life was, where my job was, and my house, and all these things. You know, we can stay there, and if the Lord calls us there, then that's our mission. And He's going to fulfill His word and His witness right there. But wherever God calls us, He wants us to bloom. And He wants to use us. And if we can view, even if we stay in the same place our whole life, that's our mission field. We view it as a mission field of going out into all the world and preaching the gospel. And we get to see God work in miraculous, beautiful ways today. So I want to just mention a couple other scriptures here. John 17 and 20. This is another evidence, a witness that God is in us when we follow this. Jesus was praying here and He said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me." How is the world going to know that Jesus came and died? Is because they see this unnatural, supernatural love we have for each other here.
Yes.
And when somebody comes in off the street or that's visiting and they see this incredible love that we have for each other, it's not like the world.
That's right.
And that's what draws people in. There was one man that came in there in Oklahoma, and he said, I've never known love like the saints give love. You know, that's a testimony that we want to keep.
Yes.
We want everyone that comes in these doors to know that we love them. And not only to love the lost, but to love each other.
That's right.
He says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. That's a very strong witness that we need to keep today. And there's a whole message on that, but that's not the message today. Another example I'll just mention here is Stephen. I love the testimony of Stephen in the Bible. He was stoned for his testimony, but he was a man that was full of faith and did wonders among the people. And God worked mightily through Stephen. You know, Jesus, so just to recap some of the things that we can give the world as a witness that the Lord is living in us is if we have love and unity for each other. His works are evident in our lives.
Yeah.
And not only the fruits of the Spirit, but also the miracles that he wants to work through us. We need to be seeking
yes.
God, that only divine things can be done through us. And then the witness of the Holy Spirit. That we don't even have to say anything, but we know that we are one of his disciples and that someone else is his disciple who we meet because the Spirit speaks to each other. And those are some of the witnesses that we can have today. But my challenge to us today is that, Lord, I want to be a witness that is true. I want to be a star witness.
Yes.
Not because I'm trying to bring glory to me, just because I've been that close to your presence.
Yes.
Where I can walk with you and know you, and people can come to me because I have a connection to you, and they know that I'm not trying to get the best end of the deal or to for any self glorification or pride at all, but that I am simply relaying what God has given to my heart, and also that my works, my words, my actions would bring glory to God in everything I do so that there can be no blame put on me that I am not operating out of God's will. But I want every area of my life, the way I talk, the way I walk, the way I look, the way I handle myself, I want it all to bring glory to God. And when we do that, we will be an effective witness. He will reveal himself to us, and he'll give us these stories that are firsthand eyewitnesses. Sometimes
yes.
I've been envious of the disciples. The disciples walked with Jesus. They were those eyewitnesses. But yet God didn't leave us without a promise that we wouldn't be his witness. We can be his witnesses today. We can be a firsthand eyewitness of God's power in us today. So, Lord, help us, each one, that we give ourselves and lives to him, that we can be his witness, and then we can go witnessing for him. You pray for me.